Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre.
Well, hello.
Well, hello to you, and Judge Eric Asperslager.
Hello.
And we're going to get right into it. So, Mac, why don't you start off? What exciting news do you have to share from the magical land of Worcester?
Well, for the 1 billionth time, I don't actually live in Worcester.
Well, I'm using this to protect your – I want to keep your actual location anonymous.
And she lives in New Orleans.
Yes, that's right. What news has been going on with me? I wanted to get out to see Conan the Barbarian, but I haven't had a chance to yet. So that was supposed to be my big plan for this week, but life got in the way.
Oh, good. It sounds like the opening to some kind of a Katherine Heigl movie trailer.
Right. video games. I've been playing a game called Bulletstorm. You heard about this?
Yeah. I actually started playing a little bit.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Is it widescreen? Is it like a really tight widescreen, or is it just like my settings or something?
I haven't had any problems with the picture. No.
So it fills your TV nicely?
Yeah.
Man, for some reason mine is like scrunched down. I'm sure I'm missing something, but I played a little bit of that. I thought it was pretty over the top fun.
It is, yeah. It's the gimmick there is that you get more points and you're able to unlock more stuff with the more creative ways that you kill the bad guys.
Right.
So the more creative your kills are, the more goodies you get.
Like what? What kind of stuff can you unlock?
Just different weapons, and you can, build up your weapons. They can hold more ammo, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
And at least that's as far as I've gotten. There's this device called a leash that is kind of like a telekinesis thing where you can throw stuff around and you can beef that up as well. So, although I got to the big boss battle on one part, and once again, I get to these boss battles and I just can't beat them. So,
ah.
Yeah.
You need to go dig up some pro tips online.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I remember getting pro tips from, remember the game Kung Fu for the NES?
Barely.
You're just a little guy walking left, kick, punch, and all these bad guys right. Just come running at you.
Yeah.
I have a distinct memory in elementary school. How do I beat Mr. X? You can't beat Mr. X.
That was the game, if you timed it just perfectly, you could get your guy to kick the other guy in between his legs, right?
I don't know if they had programmed that many animation frames into that.
If you did it just perfectly, like when he kicked and then you kicked just after he kicked, you could like kick him in the crotch.
That's not bad.
Like you had to have the 9-bit version for that.
I think so. Okay. Anything else?
Just slow week for me, I guess. But Bulletstorm, creative kills.
Nice. I would have pegged that as your kind of game.
Oh, yeah, I've done the first-person shooter thing on occasion. Yeah.
All right, nice. And another side to Mac, not just the gentle scholar we all know.
I have layers.
Yeah, you do have layers. I did want to ask you, Mac, did you finish, without being spoilery, because it's on the way to Eric now, but Dexter Season 5?
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
It did, yeah. As is tradition with these Dexter DVD and now Blu-ray releases, I get them and I watch the whole thing on a single Saturday. So, it was really awesome. It was a really great season. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
All right. And that's as detailed as we'll get, so.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just glad that Mac's Facebook icon is recognizable enough that I can just skip past all of his posts on that
guy. That's right, yes. Yes. Johnny Lee Miller, though, bringing it. Haven't seen him since Hackers. That's the last time I remember.
Wow.
Remember Hackers? Him and Angelina Jolie and Fisher Stevens running around?
What's his name? Matthew, that guy, the annoying guy. What's his
Lillard,
name?
Matthew Lillard.
Matthew Lillard, yeah, he was in that.
Nice. All right. So, Eric, what about you?
Let's see. Based on a recent Objection podcast, I went to Netflix streaming and rewatched The Fly. And watched The Fly 2 for the first time.
Okay.
I remember seeing The Fly forever ago, and I remember watching it with my dad. I was relatively young. I don't remember. I'd forgotten how crazy it gets at the end, I was just kind of weird and disgusting.
Like
I
almost wonder all the melding and euthanasia and whatnot.
Melding and that, and him actually like his body breaking apart and becoming like a fly and all that kind of stuff. So I almost wonder if my dad shut it off at some point.
I would think so. I mean, I would check out the scene where he vomits on the guy's hand and melts it. That would be enough.
Yeah, yeah. And so watch that, and then figured, hey, why not The Fly 2? Huh. And that's even crazier.
Fly 2 is actually an underrated. I mean, it's. I don't know if it's a good movie, but it's kind
not.
Of great.
It's really not. But
yeah, it isn't. But they really go all out in the gore, department towards the end there.
Yeah, yeah. And the final shot is just like, you know, nightmare inducing stuff. It's just disgusting.
The Fly 2, I reviewed it for the site when it came out on DVD, and the director's commentary, he says that it's supposed to be a throwback to. You know, 50s science fiction, but with like lots of gore. So think of it as like a 50s monster movie and look at it in that context.
It's similar to The Blob from the 80s, you know?
Yeah, it is definitely.
I mean, that last scene actually made me have sympathy for the bad guy.
Totally.
Like, I actually kind of didn't like the good guys that much. I wasn't really pulled for them, the truth.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that the scheme at the end worked. That seemed like a little dry.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
It came out so perfect, too. You know? It's like, I guess if you drop the you move the decimal point one way or the other, and then algorithm gets messed up, but you managed to nail it. He nailed that.
Right. I think the most notable thing about the movie is that Eric Stoltz finally gets to play a character called Marty. So I think that's true. But, and then besides that, I've been watching, also on Netflix, the TV show Party Down. Have either of you seen this?
Sounds familiar, actually.
Yeah, it was a show on Stars, and it's a, half hour, you know, comedy, you know, very much in the style of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm or Arrested Development or, you know, that kind of, you know, no laugh track, single camera thing. And it comes, from, a ton of both Veronica Mars and The State alums. So, like Rob Thomas kind of co-created the show. And it stars Ken Marino and Ryan Hansen. And so you got them both from The State and Veronica Mars. And then Adam Scott is a big guy, Lizzie Kaplan, and Martin Starr, who played Bill on Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, sure.
Do all these people... doing this stuff, and it's very much in that kind of, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm sort of mold. They play sort of a catering company in Los Angeles made up of, you know, aspiring actors and stuff, and Adam Scott plays an actor who made it big, then kind of became infamous for doing a beer commercial and kind of backed out of the acting game or whatever. And then, you know, and then everyone else is kind of doing their own thing. And it's very funny. And each week or each episode they're catering a different kind of event. So it gives them the chance to bring in a bunch of guest stars and do all kinds of things. Like Joe Latrullio shows them one episode. Tom Lennon in one episode plays a guy who has them cater his orgy. But he wasn't specific enough on the invitation, so no one who comes knows it's supposed to be an orgy. So he just called it like an Eyes Wide Shut theme party. So he should have asked, but they're kind of surprised that there's an F room and all. Anyway, so it's a funny show, and there's so many people who kind of traipse in who, you know, I think we all love. I mean, Jason Doring shows up in one episode.
Wow.
He's like kind of young Republican type, but it took me a little while to figure out that it was Logan Eccles because he was so, you know, playing a different character. But
right.
Ed Begley Jr. shows up one episode. There's one episode where they're at Steve Guttenberg's house and he's in it, and it's his birthday. It's just really... It's worth watching. It's like 20 episodes total. They only did two seasons, but you know, it's maybe not maybe not up to the level of like a Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I think there's enough great people in it that it's totally worth watching. So, Party Down, pretty fun.
All right, nice.
And that's it for me.
All right, man, I have not much at all. I will say I am watching the actual Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's kind of an interesting departure because usually the seasons have a season long arc. You know, some kind of story that guides it through, even if it kicks in a little later. And this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm does not do that, at least not yet. And I think we're like five episodes in or so almost at the halfway point, if not there already. and it's just kind of standalone. I mean, it's still very funny, but I don't know. A little, it's something I'm used to seeing more of an arc kick in by this time. Again, maybe I'm just holding it up to the unfair standard of the Seinfeld reunion show last year or 2 years ago, but still pretty funny.
Is it a season about nothing?
It really is a season about nothing. He's in New York. He went to New York for 3 months to get out of attending a field day for special needs children.
God.
So he lied and he ended up going to New York for 3 months just so he didn't have to do that. So yeah. So all right, but yeah, that's about it right now. Really kind of slow. Not much happening. So we'll just keep moving then. Stuff working out for the site, Mac.
Yeah, I got a real pleasant surprise for an upcoming review. I love the 80s horror movies, but somehow the movie Bad Dreams, it was never really on my radar before it showed up on my doorstep to review, and it's really awesome. It's just a really cool, really fun, you know, old school horror movie, and I really got a kick out of it. It's like a two-pack from Shout Factory that are both the sort of hospital-slash-medical-themed thrillers, and Bad Dreams is kind of the main one, and it's, you know, the evil cult leader and his suicide cult, they all kill themselves, but one girl survives. She ends up in the mental hospital, and she believes she's being tormented by the evil cult leader from beyond the grave. And her fellow patients there in the hospital start getting killed off in increasingly grisly ways. So, just really, just
sounds
really
pleasant.
Yeah, it's just really. I guess I'm not describing it well, but it's a really cool movie, and really keeps you guessing up until the end as to what's really going on, and moves some fast pace. The kills are really imaginative, I guess I should say. Practical effects, of course, which always is
nice.
Yeah. So the other movie was on the set was Visiting Hours, which wasn't quite as exciting, but it was okay. You might remember Michael Ironside is in that. He's the villain, and William Shatner has a small part in it. And we get to hear Shatner swear in this movie, so that was.
Is that something he typically doesn't do?
Well, his most of his career has been television. So.
That's true.
You don't get to make with the F-bombs.
Not a lot of F-bombs in Tech War, huh?
No, afraid not. Could have used it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
Yeah, I guess that's it for this week.
Very good. Eric, what do you got?
This week I'm reviewing the fifth season of The Twilight Zone on Blu-ray, which is the last.
Do you have all the seasons?
Yeah, now I do. I do now. This is the last season.
Cool.
It's great. By this point, the show had started to kind of run out of steam. The fourth season was the hour-long episodes, and this is back to half-hour shows, and they're a whopping 36 episodes, which is, I guess, standard at the time. And, you know, there are some not-so-great episodes here, but it also has, I think, some really, you know, great fan-favorite episodes. Nightmare at 20,000 Feet is on this one, though, with speaking of William Shatner.
Shatner, yeah.
Yeah, again, on the plane, the guy sees the monster on the wing of his plane. Living Doll with Telly Savalas with the talky Tina murderous doll.
I remember that one.
Yeah. I think you sort of gauge the number of great episodes in a season of Twilight Zone by figuring out how many were used for Simpsons Halloween specials. But.
Stands, what's your favorite season?
I think one and two are pretty much neck and neck. After that, I mean, they're both the two highest quality, and it was when things were freshest and no one had really gotten burned out yet. I think some of my favorite episodes, single episodes, are on later seasons. Season three had the It's a Good Life, which is the one with the boy who wishes people into the cornfield. And then this latest season has an episode called The Masks, which is one of my favorites. There's this old rich guy whose daughter and her family have come down because he's dying and they just want his money. And so it's Mardi Gras and he just requires that they wear these masks until midnight and they kind of represent who they really are. And then there's a twist. But,
oh, nice.
So.
Which season has the pig episode? Right.
Pig episode?
No.
Oh, the
I'm thinking of something. What am I thinking of?
Eye of the Beholder.
Eye of the Beholder. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, that would be season two. That's great. And there are so many great episodes and even episodes I had never seen before. You know, kind of stand out like, oh, that was actually really cool. So it's good. I mean, it's, even if this isn't as good as the earlier seasons, The Twilight Zone is still a great show. So and they do such a good job with these Blu-ray releases. It's just packed full of stuff. So you win again, Image Entertainment.
Maybe I asked you this before, but how do Rod Serling's eyebrows look in high def?
Oh, they're bushy, bushy, bushy.
Nice.
Beautiful, beautiful. Every
that's
every
the title of an episode too, right?
Bushy, bushy, bushy.
Kind of a chipmunk episode. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, for me, a bunch of crap, but I will give a shout out to Bangkok Knockout. I talked about this on Objection. I think we covered it on the Friday Filibuster, but yeah, Bangkok Knockout, the latest from Magnolia and our friends over at Thailand, who are still making action movies that endanger the lives of stuntmen. So I'm glad we can all get this as a movie. This is just, it doesn't function as a movie at all. Like, the acting is terrible. The plot is ridiculous. Scenes, like, there are scenes that appear to be missing completely. So continuity is way off. I mean, it's just poorly put together, but the big but is, I mean, it really is essentially a series of amazing action and stunt sequences. So if you look at it as like a stunt exhibition, that's probably the way to go to it, because it's just, it is ridiculous. And I mean, there's very little wire work, I think. I think I saw it a couple times, but mainly it's just a bunch of no-name stuntmen were thrown in just to risk their life and limb. And it's proven, because there's behind the scenes footage showing just these guys getting carted out in ambulances. I mean, it is insanity. So, it's definitely worth a look just to see some of the crazy stuff that they do. And you're not missing any of it, because thankfully overseas, unlike action movie making here, I mean, they just set up the camera, nice wide angle lens, and they just, you just soak it all in. No quick cuts or lightning edits or anything like that. So, yeah, Bangkok Knockout. Big fight scene with like a, I mean, it's kind of tongue in cheek too. They fight a guy with a mask and an axe, and they work in the Friday the 13th theme music. So, and then the big fight scene is against this indestructible guy, and he's like beating everybody up, but he's got asthma. So he's trying to get a, you know, get a shot on his asthma. What was it, like the little puffer thing?
Inhaler.
Thank you. The inhaler. Trying to remember my Goonies. I was just trying to get the inhaler, so they're just keeping his arm from, giving himself the inhaler, and then that's how they beat him. Just keeping his asthma kicking in. So it's a little odd, but man, really insane. Really insane, full of insanity. So, okay, so Mac, speaking of Bangkok Knockout, that is coming out on August 30th, and what does that mean?
That means we're going to take a look at it and everything else that's coming out on August 30th by going to DVDvertigo.com and look at the cover gallery for August 30th. I just said that. You can find that by clicking on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and from there scroll down to the cover art gallery. And we're just going to take a look at what's on the list. And yeah, it's pretty crazy cover art there, people jumping at each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty tame, actually.
Yeah. Kind of looks like the old Kung Fu game that we were talking about.
I mean, the end fight sequence in this movie is, I think it's probably the two guys on the cover here. They're fighting each other underneath a moving tractor trailer.
Great.
So, I mean, craziness.
Let's see, what else we got? A lot
house
of excitement.
Season 7, where I officially kind of departed the house bus.
Yeah. This is where he and Ketty finally start a relationship.
And the whole
nothing
thing, yeah,
nothing really changes. Yeah,
yeah, it was tough.
Let's see. And a lot of excitement about the new Coen Brothers box set on Blu-ray with Blood Simple, Fargo, Miller's Crossing, and Raising Arizona. That's a really nice set right there.
Norwegian Ninja.
That's nice.
Yeah. That's about that. Is now, you once reviewed a movie about an Irish ninja. Is that a sequel? Or?
I don't think so. I like the tagline, though. Join us. Be a ninja.
Simple, direct, and it probably sounds way better in Norwegian.
I'm sure it does.
I think it speaks to the confusion in the Fast and Furious franchise that when they release all of the movies at once, they have to put the original under the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
So no one gets confused.
That's right. That might be sign number one, that you're getting things a little crazy with your titles.
Yeah.
Now, a show that I know you got into, Eric, show that I love a lot, season 3 of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah. At this point, I have not yet seen season 3. And
I don't know. I'm left hanging off the cliff from the last season. So
yeah, I heard some mixed things on season 3 from Patrick Bromley, but apparently if you stick with it, whatever that means, it gets better.
Yeah, I guess I just sort of wasn't as good as the first two, but I mean, yeah. The first two seasons were very high quality, so I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch it.
Little Vampire Diaries action at the bottom there. That's right. Yeah. What Vampire Diaries?
Something called Police Adjective, which may or may not be a Mad Libs movie.
that's actually like a well. I had seen this like on Netflix or something. I don't know, but I think that's actually like a well-regarded, overseas like independent movie or something.
Yeah, it looks fancy.
It does look fancy schmancy, doesn't
it's highbrow.
It?
Yeah.
Gun in the book. I guess that means something. I don't know.
It's a dark comedy about power and law enforcement as deployed by bureaucrats with a totalitarian song in their hearts.
Stop! I'm laughing too hard.
That's right. That's good times.
Speaking of Twilight Zone season 5 there, the brown cover.
Mm-hmm. And a little under the radar, but I just made a joke there, but 1950s sci-fi classic, The Incredible Shrinking Man. Good times. Groundbreaking effects for its day.
Remember that show Land of the Giants?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was one of the Sid and Marty Krofft shows, wasn't it?
Are you talking about Land of the Lost?
No, Land of the Giants.
Land of the Giants, yeah.
You guys remember Land of the Lost?
Yes.
Because I don't remember Land of the Giants.
I had a little giant.
From the same era.
Yeah. It's probably just Land of the Blank.
No, the
Mad Libs.
That's right. Land of the
Giants. The three teenagers, and they were like living inside a lunchbox because everyone else was giants and they were tiny.
Yeah, I probably have seen it.
I think it was a family, wasn't it?
It was a family? I thought it was just a group of teenagers. See, now I got to look it up, see if it's on the Netflix.
Definitely a family in Land of the Lost, I know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's thanks to Sid and Marty Krofft that I think more of my childhood than it should be was filled with Ruth Buzzy. I should not know anything about Ruth Buzzy, but thanks to them, I do. I'll always blame them for that.
All right, well, a bunch of random stuff here. So inadvertently sounding sleazy, inadvertently, you know what I'm saying, sleazy deep release of the week, whatever. I got distracted by managing menopause naturally.
That is distracting.
They seem to be managing very well, those ladies. So. Okay. So, Eric, what do you see?
I'll go with the Incredible Shrinking Man.
That's good. That works. The most, probably the least, you know.
It's kind of these.
Mac.
A River Called Titus.
All right. Ready for Playtime.
It's a good one. Whenever you can take a kid's title and make it dirty, it's good times.
Plus points. Especially that raccoon. Okay.
No, he's wearing a mask.
He's wearing a mask. I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our ambush topic segment as we bring this edition of the Friday Filibuster to a close. And because I haven't thought of one yet, let's start with Mac.
Okay. Well, in a lot of action movies, there's usually a scene near the end before the final bad guy death when the villain's plans start to unravel and the villain kind of loses control and begins acting really desperate. This is, in other words, this is the big villain freakout moment.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I'm wondering, what are our favorite villain freakouts?
Villain freakouts. I mean, the all-time greatest character freakout has to be Corporal Hudson.
No.
But let's see. Villain freakouts.
I'm trying to back.
Let's see. Hmm.
I just recently watched Die Hard with a Vengeance. I'm trying to remember if Jeremy Irons.
That's a good. That's a good one. It just hit me too. But go with it. That's a.
Let's see.
Do you remember?
I mean, he ends up on a helicopter.
That's right. Happens.
Yes.
I mean, he's so pissed off. Right.
Right.
So,
right.
The Border Patrol and half the U.S. Army is coming and closing down his freedom fighters. And I mean, he's got access to all this gold, so theoretically, he could take his girlfriend, right, and jump into a Volvo and take off, maybe. But he just gets so pissed off. And just, yeah, he jumps into a helicopter with a giant machine gun and stalks John McClane.
And ends up getting electrocuted in some freak accident.
Now, like,
a perfect shot by John McClane.
That's right. Have you ever seen the original ending to that?
No, I haven't.
It's totally different. He gets away. Really? It's actually more realistic. He gets away with all this. He gets away with the whole thing. And then you just cut to a restaurant. And he's sitting there. McClane walks into the restaurant, sits down. They start talking to each other. McClane puts a rocket launcher on the table. And he spins it around. And, like, you don't know which way it fires, front or back. That's for some reason. Mm-hmm. They spin it around. And they just play this kind of Russian roulette game. And Jeremy Irons ends up blowing himself up with a rocket launcher. Yeah, usually alternate endings suck. Usually they're like maybe 10 extra seconds or so. Unless, of course, it is the Silver Dream Racer.
Yes.
Alternate ending.
I love that that's the more realistic ending.
It is.
With the rocket launcher and the
rocket. With the rocket launcher. It is, actually.
Well, the original ending takes place in some fictional place called Canada, I think it is.
Canada. Okay, villain freak out. I gotta think. There's got to be something to choose from the James Bond archives here.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, okay, in License to Kill, Sanchez does have a pretty sweet freak out. I mean, he just, you know, when his whole... So installation goes up in smoke. He just starts wiping guys out. You know, the one guy gets impaled on the forklift. Then he guns down his accountant. Then he gets so pissed at the Bond, he jumps out and attacks him with a machete on the back of a moving fuel tank. And then he gets set on fire. But he really has a nervous breakdown there at the end.
Yeah, totally. For mine, I actually had two. One was from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, with Alan Rickman as the Sheriff of Nottingham.
That's right.
He really goes bonkers near the end there. And it's kind of actually a gradual unraveling of him. He kind of gets more and more crazy and desperate throughout the movie.
And more and more cartoonish.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if you can call an attempted rape cartoonish. But
yeah, that's true.
Even though they played it to be comic. Played it with some comic undertones, which is always a little weird.
And also Jack Nicholson is the Joker in Tim Burton's Batman. He really goes nuts at the end there. Well, first he just shoots Bob point blank.
Poor Bob.
But then completely just losing his mind. You know, in those last few minutes there, as he's got Batman and Kim Basinger hanging off the ledge.
Nice. All right. Well, I still haven't thought of one. So go, Eric.
Okay. This is based on the kind of recent reports that, surprising no one, George Lucas is further tinkering with the Star Wars movies before they hit Blu-ray, the CGI Yoda and all that stuff. So come up with one change he could make that would make the set better and one change that would be a deal breaker for you.
Good. Wow. So, and the one change that made it better couldn't be like rescinding the cuts he's already done, right? So...
You can do whatever you want, but just think of our listeners and try to entertain them, Dave. We're here to perform public service.
Yeah, I guess.
Not say obvious things that make sense to people.
Let's see. Okay, so one thing you could do that I would like. Maybe add a piece of dialogue. I've always thought that when they were burning all the dead Jawa bodies. You know, some nice comic relief would have been like Obi-Wan mentioning something about the smell. You know? I mean, it's a pretty dark. We just saw Luke's skeleton. Parents are skeletons. And, you know, that's actually kind of an odd scene in general. Just you know, Ben and Luke are talking in the background. Creepio is just carrying Jawa
hauling bodies around.
Throwing them on the bonfire. Is that really part of the product? Do you think he was like a protocol droid? This isn't in my, you know, I do manners and translation. I'm not supposed to be hauling these corpses around. I mean, could you imagine? Actually, I go a step further. I'd love to see the scene that immediately preceded that scene, where Luke orders C-3PO get the rocket's corpses and set on fire.
And, like hell, I will.
So, yeah, so that'd be great. That whole scene would be nice. And then Deal Breaker. Boy, a lot of options to go here. I guess you could just. If he CGI'd every non-human character, that would be pretty tough. Spock gets the CGI. Or if, what's the name of that thing, Mac, in the garbage disposal?
Oh, the Dianoga.
Yes, if the Dianoga gets CGI, that would be good. A little eye popping up, and it's like Pixar animation, so that'd be tough. That's it for Mac.
Okay, let's see. It's hard for me to think because, you know, I'm a big fan. Let's see. I don't know. I'm not sure how they would do this, but if you take Jimmy Smits's character from the prequels and replaced him with his character from Dexter.
That'd be good.
That'd be good.
I'm not sure how they would do that, but, you know, have him, like, you know, killing people and burying them in the background. So.
I have a big F-bomb dropping argument with Yoda at the end there.
Right. Or no, with him and Samuel L. Jackson.
That's true. That fit nicely. That would be the deal breaker, or that would be something you want to see?
Huh. That could go either way, couldn't it? Let's go with that as the one I want to see.
All right. What's the deal breaker?
Deal breaker. Let's see. Oh, geez. You know, what if they took Ahsoka from the Clone Wars cartoon and just put her in, like, every scene?
Oh, I've never seen her. Is she terrible?
Oh, she's off. She's, you know, she's Hannah Montana in space with a lightsaber.
I remember seeing her in the movie.
Yeah, she's, any scene with Ahsoka is painful.
Mm. All right.
For making it better, if in Return of the Jedi, in one of the Ewok scenes, he just added, like, an Ewok in the background, like, gnawing on a stormtrooper's leg.
That's good.
Because we've already established that they're, you know, they'll eat human flesh.
Of course, yes.
As well show them, you know.
And possibly decapitate stormtroopers.
Yeah, absolutely, right, right.
Right.
Sure, I mean, you see the helmets at the end, you might as well show how they hollowed out and got you their chewy nougat centers.
I think those are the scenes that are cut from the celebration cookout at the end.
probably. The big pile of offal in the corner. And the deal breaker would be if he brought in Hayden Christensen to re-record all of Darth Vader's dialogue for the first three movies.
That'd be tough. in every episode, in every one of those movies, you could figure that C-3PO could be given a job where he's disposing of corpses, you know? Whether it's like Tauntaun corpses in the battle, you know, it's back, or raw corpses. You know, just bringing him over onto throw him on the fire. I'd like to see him, the corpse disposal robot. I'd like to
It's the C in C-3PO stands for corpse.
That's a little known fact. I think that's part of the canon. All right. Okay, let's, just because we haven't talked about Saved by the Bell in a while, here we go. Really quick and easy. Primary, secondary, tertiary character in the Saved by the Bell universe. I'm going to kind of copy what you did, Eric. Character that you would not mind going camping with, and one that you would hate to go camping with. So you're trapped with this character for, like, the weekend.
Well, I totally suck at camping.
Okay.
So I'm going to probably...
You suck at camping.
So I tried to sleep out under the stars, but I ended up drowning in a river.
Right, exactly.
I don't know how that happened.
So you know, I'm going to need someone there to, you know, who knows the wilderness survival thing. That's probably going to be Slater.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Yeah. You know, he can do stuff like start fires and I don't know, kill bears with his bare hands and stuff. So, you know, hunt raccoons for food, and I don't know what people do when they're camping. So all that stuff.
Yeah.
As for the one I'd not want to go with.
Okay, I'm gonna make it tougher. You can't choose Screech.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I was leaning towards Mr. Belding.
That's a very good one too.
Imagine he'd probably get on your nerves after a while.
I think he'd do worse than that. If you ever heard his Dennis Haskins commentary in Saved by the Bell, one of the seasons for a couple episodes, it was mildly disturbing.
Really?
He just kept talking about how beautiful the girls were, you know?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's brutal. Nice. All right, Eric, what about you?
Okay, so a character I would want to go camping with, I'll say Tori.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying.
She's tough.
I think, you know, she seems tough. Rides a motorcycle. She probably, you know, I assume she has some outdoor skills. She probably, you know, has run away from home at least one occasion, possibly even ridden the rails. Who knows?
Right. That's true.
So that would be, would want to go, would not, oh boy. How about the Violet, the Tori Spelling character?
Oh, that'd be tough.
That's a, I know that's, she's sort of like Screech and Drag, but. But also, so it's probably cheating a little bit, but I'll go with her.
That's a great name for something. Screech and Drag.
Screech and Drag.
It's my
Saved by the Bell tribute band.
That's right. Oh, good. Okay, me, let's see. So I would take Eric, Jesse's wise, cracking stepbrother from New York, shows up for two episodes and then vanishes from sight. But he's incredibly enterprising. I mean, he could put together cars by himself. So I just figured if there's any ever emergency, he'd be able to assemble some kind of conveyance and we'd be out of there no problem. I mean, he's kind of a dick, so there's a good chance that there's a good chance that he'd be, you know, mean to me throughout the whole weekend. But man, I'll take that over. I like the survival chances there. I would not want to go. You know, I don't think Mr. Tuttle is going to bring a lot to the table if I brought him camping. You know, he teaches driver's ed, which is okay, I guess, but I don't know. Even if you recall, all the kids learned how to drive on in that episode was a golf cart. So he's skilled to driving a golf cart on. That's not going to do much.
I mean, did we really see cars in the series, though? Maybe in that universe, the golf cart is the preferred mode of transportation.
Well, the only person who owned a car, let's see, Slater had a sweet convertible, and so did Mr. Belding. And it was actually, we saw that in the Eric episode.
There you go.
Yeah, so
I think my alternate answer for someone I would like to go camping with, I think if you went camping with Johnny Dakota, you'd have a real mellow time.
Johnny Dakota, yeah. It'd be a hard partying mellow time. And he'd lend you his jacket, so you'd never be cold.
thank you, Wikipedia. Thank you, list of minor characters.
Let's rattle them off real quick.
Boy, this is a long one. You know, Margot Mason, Stacy Carell. Well, she's not a minor character. Craig Strand.
Strand was Stacy's frat boy boyfriend. Jerk.
Okay. How about Jem Diamond?
Jem Diamond sold the class rings to Zach, and they turned his fingers green.
Okay, Lieutenant Chet Adams.
Lieutenant Chet Adams. I think it was the Air Force. Was he the Air Force captain who thought Screech was an alien?
Yeah, probably. I'm not going to read that paragraph. Dean Yablonsky.
Oh, Dean Yablonsky. I don't know who that is.
It was Johnny Dakota's director. When he spoke, all he said was, yo.
Somebody went to the effort to make a Wikipedia entry about that guy.
No, he's part of a larger page, so.
That's still amazing to me. All right, well, this could go on for another hour, so we better cut this right now. Jem Diamond. Oh, man.
There was it's a classic show, really.
It is a classic show. All right, so thank you, Eric and Mac, for joining me and traversing the wilds of the Friday Filibuster. Friday Filibuster at dvdvert.com is our email address. Mac, do you have anything else to add?
Time out.